CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us today. Got an exciting program for you. We have with us, again, such a wonderful brother in the Lord, and great to have attorneys that know God, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, and that's pji.org if you want to look it up, representing people like you and me against unfair government rules and laws, which now we're seeing more and more daily in our whole judicial system thrown upside down. Whether it was the head of the airport there in Little Rock, Arkansas, the Rodham Clinton, Bill Clinton airport there in Little Rock, Arkansas, gunned down in his home by the ATF with no prior convictions. Made over $250,000 a year just doing that. Available every day. You could find him anywhere. Gunned down at his home as they broke the door off the hinges and put tape over his seeing eye on his front doorstep so they couldn't see him. They were hiding something. Of course, the ATF, not wearing any body cams at all, was asked by Jim Jordan and Gantz, why are you behaving against the law? And to listen to the head of the ATF was just astonishing. Everybody, you need to watch this. I told you before, if they will do this to a president, they're going to do it to you and me. Watch the video. Just Google it. Head of the airport, Little Rock, Arkansas, gunned down by the ATF. And watch this. Watch the Senate. House and Senate, grill the head of the ATF and listen to his answers. Sometimes they're just a yes or no answer. Wouldn't answer it at all. Scary stuff. Then we have what happened yesterday. Unbelievable. Again, selective jury, biased judge, coaching the jury, all these kinds of things. And again, we're going to talk about this on the program today. And if you got a question about any of these things, as well as the Bible, if you've been reading, wonder where we're at biblically, prophetically, as we're seeing everything kind of wrapping down. Hey, listen, give us a call. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. And we would love to talk to you today. Joining me today again, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, hi and welcome. And tell us what's going on in the clown shows now.
Yeah, this is really shocking. I've never, ever seen anything like this. I never thought I would ever see anything like this, where we saw the courts not acting with equal treatment, equal protection under the law, blind justice. No, specifically, aggressively using lawfare to go after someone for strictly political reasons. And it was so blatant. The bias was horrific. We all know it. We've been watching the news. The good news is that the majority of Americans see this for what it is. It's shameful. It's disgraceful. It was directly from the Biden administration. The number three person in Biden's Department of Justice steps down from this highly prestigious position to go work in a little local court case. Why? Was this just for one reason? He was brought down for the purpose of making sure that Trump is convicted to try to keep him from winning. They couldn't win from the from policy. They couldn't win from integrity. So they tried to do a banana republic approach, which is to get your opponent put in behind bars, out of the way. Putin 101, Castro 101. Well, the American people sees through it. And we have so many problems with as far as on the appeal. We're looking at clear violation of the Fifth Amendment. Yeah, it's in state court. But because the Fifth Amendment guarantees due process, and the courts have held that that carries over into state courts as well, and specifically a right to a fair trial, for example. Well, first off, this judge should have disqualified himself not just for bias, but even just the appearance of bias. He clearly had that, especially with a family member, his daughter, who's actually making money, actually generating money, making money off his trial, with her left-wing political campaigning and fundraising. Then we also had a key witness denied, the head of the FEC being denied the ability to testify as to what the law says and how they've applied the law in the past as to whether or not there's been an election code violation. They refused to allow him to appear. Instead, they asked Cohen, a guy who's perjury, who stole thousands of dollars. This is the guy that could comment on the election and election law, but not the head of the FEC. He was prevented. They didn't disclose the full charges. In fact, it wasn't really even clear until the prosecution's closing argument. And by the way, it was only after the defense did their closing argument. I think it's clearly unconstitutional as well. Selective enforcement of the law is blatant and very errant. Violation of statute of limitations. There's so much here. There was extortion against one of the witnesses. Nothing brought. Massive theft and perjury against Cohen. Nope, no charges brought. Only against Trump over minor charges and lesser charges. This is really very problematic. And the worst of all is when the judge said, you know, there's different bases that you can call, link this to a felony. You can, some of you may think it's a violation of federal election law. Some may say state election law. Some may say the federal IRS code. As long as all of you think it's just one of those three, that's good enough. Well, that's not protection under the law. The entire jury must be united behind what the crime was. And that's not what this judge did. So this will be appealed, number one. Eventually, it will be overruled, if anything, by the Supreme Court. And this is a violation of due process. So this is under the Constitution. So this does and will eventually go to the Supreme Court unless it's reversed on appeal at the lower court. The only question is, does the president's legal staff, do they want to push it faster and harder to get it done before the election with a high risk of filing of a writ for certiorari after the first appeal? It's very risky. They may decide to do that. They may say, you know what? We're just going to let this play out until after the election. We know we're going to win on this case. Let's focus on the election. But those are the options they have right now. They can go through the long process, through the appellate process, the state Supreme, High Court, and then of New York, and then Supreme Court. Or we can do a rapid fire. We did a rapid fire when the churches were all shut down in California. We did an emergency writ, and we got it very quickly to the Supreme Court. It was very high risk. The odds were against us. We won, and we prevailed. But it's very much the rare exception and not the general rule. That said, if the judge says to on the sentencing, no, I'm not going to just give you parole. I'm going to order you to stay in your house. Or even worse, I'm going to put you behind bars. Then I believe the Supreme Court would grant a writ for certiorari to take those up, because that is much more of a direct infringement upon the election process itself. They did it with Bush Gore, and I think they would definitely do it again under those circumstances.
Yeah, and the other thing you mentioned is my understanding is most everything that they brought up was all past the statute of limitations. And they brought it up. In fact, it would have never been brought up until Trump says, I'm going to run for president. Then they said, oh, well, even though it's too old to bring to court, we're going to bring it to court anyway.
Right.
How do you do this?
Yeah. So the FEC would not bring an action against, looked at this, said, no, this is not a violation of the FEC, the Federal Election Code. The Department of Justice, they didn't. They looked at it and said, there's no case here. And then even Bragg's, this disgraceful, just compromising, unethical district attorney. He should be ashamed of himself. He and his family, they should be ashamed of themselves for this. But anyway, he himself said there's nothing here until Trump announced that he was running for president. Then he reversed, and then he says, yeah, I'm gonna bring him down. I'm gonna bring him down. And even use that as part of his own personal campaign, political campaign, which we need ethics laws against that as well. But I think that, yeah, this is disgraceful. Bragg should be ashamed of himself. The Biden administration.
The New York prosecutor
should be ashamed of himself. Yeah. And mind you, it was number three at the Department of Justice under the Biden administration. Steps down from this very prestigious position, steps down to be active counsel in this case against Trump. A lower court to step down. Why? No one would do that unless they were a part of a concerted effort by the Biden administration to take down Trump. And if people don't think it's true, then take a look at the other three cases. All three of them are left-wing political hacks committed to prosecute Trump for something that has never been prosecuted before based on those facts. They're going out of their way to take for political purposes. And here's the thing. We know of someone at the school board level. Once he announced in California he was running, boom, district attorney files action against him. In Arizona, in Georgia, this has happened so recently, and they're all left-wing against people running for office. It's not just about Trump. We're talking about a clear, widespread corruption in the state courts, I'm limiting it to right now, to use their powers for political control, political purpose. It's not enough to have corruption at the ballot box. Now we're having corruption, keeping people from running for office and attacking maybe even businesses. Business owners now are really thinking, wow, I guess we can't count on the law and district attorneys being fair and equal, at least not in the state of New York or maybe in the state of California. So we've got some real long-term economic ramifications when people and businesses cannot trust courts and district attorneys to be fair and equal under the law.
No, they worked their way in. You know, Nikita Khrushchev, 1957, said, "We will bury you." And everybody kind of laughed at that. But, you know, they put a plan in to infiltrate the schools, the seminaries, the political offices, every single venue, wherever there's power, to get in, corrupt it, and increase the corruption. And this, friends, is what we're seeing. Now, you have to be aware of it. When you understand that Trump was a tremendous ally of Israel, declared to the world that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. Though many presidents said they would do it before, Trump is the only one that did it and actually recognized it by our nation. We have Hamas running wide open right now. They estimate they only 50% of Hamas has been taken out, by the way, for everybody, against what the American news media will, of course, distort for you. So we are in some very, very perilous times. You know, Brad, the Bible says to pray, and he says in Matthew 24, when you begin to see these things happen, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And boy, I'll tell you, I have never seen anything like this. You couple this with these other things going on, and this same rotten party is one saying, oh, the elections were 100% honest. Well, Brad, you proved that in California that they weren't, insomuch that you actually reversed a state, what was it, a representative or a congressional seat there in California?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Mike Garcia's race. You know, he's running for office as an integrity campaign in north of Los Angeles. And, you know, he's running. Well, you know, we have people, we encourage churches in that area to recruit poll workers and poll watchers. Our director of church engagement was actively involved on that. Well, as it turns out, because of those poll workers and poll watchers, we were able to catch over 350 fraudulent ballots. These are people lying, outright fraudulent ballots. And had we not called those out and caught those, Mike Garcia would not be congressman. It'd be someone else. That's the facts. So we see that corruption, and it's unfortunately much more widespread. Here's the good news, Pastor Mike, for those out there who are concerned. First, the good news is the final solution, the final decision really on this is going to be on Election Day. We the people still have that capacity. There has not been another pandemic and national emergency that halts the election. I don't think that's going to happen. Some do. I don't think that's going to happen. So the election, we still have that opportunity. Number two, is the church still has an opportunity to have its voice heard specifically. So we just sent out an announcement to everyone letting them know that we can help churches have church voter registration Sundays. Voter registration Sundays, it's legal, it's constitutional, and it's morally the right thing to do to encourage the body of Christ to be faithful with the authority that God has given us to be righteous with and faithful with, and that includes voting. We've got that authority. If we relinquish that authority, then the guilt is on us when evil and people are elected to office or evil things happen. We need to be faithful and loving and caring. And if we love and we care, we're going to vote and we're going to register people and brothers and sisters of Christ to vote. That's my position. So we're helping churches do that. We're looking to get, we got over 500 last time churches to do voter registration Sundays. We're looking at getting close to 1,000 this time. And we're really going to work hard to make sure the church voice is heard loud and clear to stop tyranny for the, well, not just for our sake, but for the sake of generations to come.
Yeah, and again, the election's going to have to be so overwhelming, even with all of their cheating, and they are going to, again, everybody needs to watch the movie 2000 Mules. It tells how they corrupted the last election with real video. That's right, everybody. They actually showed a guy going up to one of those places where you mail your a drop box for your mail-in ballot. A guy shows up with a gunny sack full of ballots, stuffing them in there. It's all in the video. And so, again, night cameras. The last election was so fraud, but, you know, you have to believe a completely rotten American news media for this stuff. And you watch them. It's always the same stories. In fact, they'll use some buzzword vernacular. And then all of a sudden you'll watch NBC and, well, the vernacular was, and then AP and the vernacular was, they're all ripping reading from the same script that's controlled by, well, we really don't know who anymore. So yeah, when you check that out, you'll find that they're not honest. Let's go to Jeffrey Wells, Mineral Wells, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello guys. Man, I'll tell you what. Oh my gosh, I am so bananas over the last couple of days with how do we deal with Trump being convicted? And I am a conservative, God-loving, Jesus-preaching man, I'll tell you what. But what happens now? And help me out to understand, Mr. Dacus, please help me out, that when I look back at Nixon, when he's oh my gosh, I'm clapping my hands. I'm trying to think.
Watergate. Yeah.
Watergate. Thank God. Oh my gosh. I'm an old man, but you look back at Watergate and he's convicted of, Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, planning the tapes and then lying about it, and supposedly, and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, so, yeah, I am.
Isn't this, though, Brad, a completely different scenario this time? Weaponized judicial system is all it is. And this is what you expect in a banana republic, like a Guatemala or a Venezuela or a Cuba or a Russia. Well, but it is full-on screaming now in our own nation.
Yeah, you know, there's something. I'm glad you asked that because they're very different. As far as, you know, Nixon, yeah, I mean there was evidence and it was brought before it, and that's why you had both Republicans and Democrats on both sides saying, yeah, we need to impeach him. You know, I'm not going to go into history on the details of it, but as far as this is concerned, you know, liberal Harvard emeritus former professor Alan Dershowitz. You know, he never voted for Trump. He probably won't vote for Trump. But he and others like him have come out and condemned this royally as a joke, as an attack on the integrity of our judicial system, on the ability for us to count on equal treatment, equal protection under the law. You know, that's why America, according to World Bank Organization, why our nation, there's two reasons why a prosperous nation like America are prosperous, they found out. And they're not Christian, the World Bank Organization. They said one is the moral people, that people don't just not break the law. They don't just keep the law because they don't want to get caught. they mostly don't break the law because it's the wrong thing to do. Okay, that's number one. And then number two is they have equal treatment and equal protection under the law. Businesses know that they can protect, they can count on the laws being equally enforced and not being ganged up on by a district attorney who has an ulterior motives and politics. Well, we don't have that now. It's gone, at least for now, when we have something this dramatic taking place that was so blatantly without merit. Professors from the left and the right, judges from the left and the right, are all calling this out as political hacking and abuse of authority and a clear breach of trust of the American people with regard to our judiciary and our judges, at least on a state court level, because it's not just this judge in New York. We've also got the other three cases. And those district attorneys bring in action. The only judge of those four that's one of integrity that I would say I have really confidence in is the one out of Florida. And I think she's handling that case just fine. These district attorneys are corrupt. They're should be ashamed of themselves. And we need reform to bring punishment to those who can be fought and proved to use their authority for political purposes instead of equal treatment under the law.
It's just amazing. And Jeffrey, so his question is, so where do we go from here now? How do we do this? Because sure. Again, I understand that Trump yesterday, his donation number crashed over $31 million. Trump raised yesterday, highest ever, I believe, in the history of president. More people supported Trump yesterday than any other time. And it wasn't just with lip service. It was with millions of dollars. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, 485,000 people, last I heard, immediately went on and gave immediate donation support. The total is now over 39 million, I believe. And it's growing fast. And it's going to continue to grow, I believe, over the weeks ahead. First, we need to understand it's not hopeless because we still have an election. So, as far as Trump goes, his people will appeal it. Don't worry about that. And they'll deal with it appropriately. There's already a commercial I saw that where he's just painting out the tyranny of this whole matter and what's happening and the cheapening, a complete disregard for justice of these state courts, including New York. That's number one. Number two, though, what we can do, well, we can register. We can have our talk to our pastors about our churches having voter registration Sundays. We at Pacific Justice, we're here to help walk them through. People just go to our website. It's easy. We have all the information there. PJI.org. P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org, PJI.org. Click churches. We have all the information there, and we'll walk it through your pastor or assistant pastor on how easy it is to have a voter registration table, a nonpartisan. It's legal, it's constitutional, and morally it is the right thing to do. If we're to vote, if that's part about being faithful with the authority God's given us, then churches need to be a part of promoting what's good and righteous, to stop being pleasers of men, but be pleasers of God. Stop acting out of fear that there's someone in their church that may not think it's appropriate. No, that's what the church in Nazi Germany did. They were silent because they're afraid about offending someone in their congregation. So they were silent. They were complacent. Well, there's no place for complacent Christianity in America today. Now is the time for us to talk to our pastors, our church elders, and ask them to have voter registration Sundays, and also implore them to preach what the Bible says about the issues of the day. The Apostle Paul, Peter, the apostles, in the New Testament, they address the issues of the day from the Holy Word of God. We need to have pastors that are bold to do no less. And I exhort you to be a part of a church that's doing that. And if your pastor is a pleaser of men and wants to only preach about the lilies of the field, you may want to move on to another church. Other than that, it's a great day. So,
yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's time to stand up and be counted. You know, the silent majority cannot remain silent anymore. And when you look and see that Joe Biden, which I don't know what's wrong with him. I think really Obama is the one running the country, because of just the crazy stuff that we see everywhere else. The borders overran and, you know, this just general disdain for America that in the past, historically speaking, many of these people have had. When you look at that, you realize that he doesn't know what day it is, and yet they're passing and they're doing all this kind of stuff. You know, Brad, I'm really, really, I think all of us, and to answer Jeffrey, so where do we go from here? Well, we encourage people to vote. We keep praying. God, establish the righteous,
yes.
Take away the wicked. Again, that way when the rapture comes, we go to heaven, and then they'll get what they always wanted, America without God, and you'll see what'll happen to it. But you know, when Biden changed his stance on Israel because of the Hamas protesters scattered across America, all with the same color tents, the same size flags. This isn't right. Just some peace, love, and groove thing that we're going to do down at the local campus, me and my buddies. No, this was well orchestrated, same color tents, same color flags. How is in California the same tents are used in New York? You know this is being funded by somebody.
Yes.
And then magically, Joe Biden changes his support of Israel after the Congress votes to give Israel the weapons they need and says, nope, I'm not going to give them to you unless you fight the battle the way we tell you to. I'll tell you something. Reckoning Day is coming, everybody. Jeffrey, I hope that answers your question. Stay in line, send you out books and DVDs. Coming up on a break, we'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
And I saw my baby on the sonogram picture. He had a little halo around his head. And I heard his heartbeat. And seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you, who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two on this very interesting Friday afternoon, the day after we see full-on weaponized courtrooms against anybody that doesn't agree with them. Oh, America, we're in trouble now, man. I told everybody when they do this to a president, they're going to do it to you. Again, be sure to watch the video of the head of the Little Rock, Arkansas airport, gunned down in his home. This guy had no previous convictions. He had a very well-paying job, well-respected in the community. They put tape over his seeing eye on his front door, busted his door down in pre-dawn, like 5 a.m. The guy heard noise downstairs, grabbed his gun, went over to find out what was going on, told his wife to go back in the bedroom. He comes down the stairs, sees people in his house. He fires a shot into the ground. They shot him in the head and killed him, executed him right on the spot. I think it's interesting. Jim Jordan kept using the word executed. I believe this is absolutely correct. Now, again, when they do this to a president, friends, they're going to do it to all of us. Now, another question that we come up to is, we find that you can, as an example, Antifa can go on a college campus and burn rooms. Look what Hamas did. Nothing happens to them. But if you hold a sign up in front of an abortion clinic on public ground, you'll be in jail for 20 years. Brad, what's going on?
Yeah, it's in the past, we sort of just assumed that law enforcement would operate out of integrity. And now we see a politicalization of law enforcement. Particularly, we've seen it with the FBI. We saw it with the Department of Justice. When they pronounced that parents could be domestic terrorists and will be treated accordingly. Those who appear overly hostile or at school board meetings. It's something we've never seen before, what we're witnessing before. And it's not just isolated. It's not just what's happened to Trump. Although that was shocking. That was a major climax, I think, in the whole problem. We're going to need.
Yeah, we're gonna need to be, I think, smarter now than we've been before. And again, to go on the offense a little bit here. Brad, you were saying. Oh, we're having trouble, with the hookup with Brad, but, let's go to Stephen, Colorado from yesterday. Hi, welcome.
Hey there, Pastor Mike. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Hey, I started thinking, I was listening to yesterday's message with Pastor Scott there, and he was speaking of, towards the tail end of marriage, and he made a comment saying, hey, the Bible says if we husbands love our wives, you know, as Christ loved the church and loved our wives as we love ourselves, marriage would be much better off. And I started thinking about that, and I've heard that 1,000 times, and I read that 1,000 times. And I started thinking about that concept too, like loving my wife the way I love myself. And I've heard that taught, and I'm like, hey, loving myself is like, hey, do I go outside without, you know, brushing my teeth or combing my hair? That means I take care of myself. I love myself. But to me, loving my wife, I can't quite grasp that, because I think it's way more than that. Like, hey, if I just brush, you know, the bangs out of my wife's hair, eyes, and said, hey, dear, okay, you look great, that's a different kind of love than to love her as Jesus loved the church. And I guess where this is coming from is I'm struggling with that. I want to love my wife in such a way, in such a dear manner, and I just don't. And I struggle with that. So when I hear that, hey, love, you know, wife as you love yourself, or as Christ loved the church, then it's different for me. I was hoping you could maybe elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, and I believe that, again, when we look at probably one of the best chapters to define love in the Bible is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And it is interesting when you read this chapter that it talks about how wherever you find the word love, put your own name in there. And boy, I'll tell you, it gets pretty scary. So when you would read, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not prate itself. You put your own name in there. Mike suffers long and is kind. Mike does not envy. Mike does not parade it. And you think, whoa, man, God. Oh, I talk about needing your love to intervene in my life so that I'll be more like you. But when we realize that there are definitions to love, it isn't just I love you, babe, but what do you do? And unfortunately, so many people say those things, but they don't offer anything to go with their words. They're empty words. And I really believe that to love the way the Bible says requires a supernatural love. And I believe that's the only way we really can truly love the way we're supposed to love. You see, right. We all have our limitations, but God doesn't have any limitations. I'm an exhaustible supply. I can give and give and give and I give out. God never, never stops giving. Brad, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. That's what's so awesome about our God. And sometimes we limit God. We think to our back of our minds, well, he can forgive me up to this point, but there's no way I could forgive myself beyond that point. Surely he doesn't forgive me. And we need to understand that our God's forgiveness and love is much greater than ours, even for ourselves. So when we limit God's love, we limit his grace, we limit his mercy. And it's a destructive tool that Satan loves to pull on us, to bring us down. And even as Christians, the good news is that God's love is everlasting. His love never ceases. It's new every day. The more we believe that, the more free we can be set free from that guilt and those doubts, and we can keep our eyes on Christ and move ahead with victory in our lives more than ever, just by taking that first step of receiving that full forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us.
So I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, I mean, can you pray for me too? Because I'm struggling. I want to love my wife so much more than I do. I want to love her as the Bible says, as Jesus loves me. And every day I try to pray for that. I fall so short all the time. I find myself kind of saying remarks or I shouldn't. And I'm always falling short of that. And she feels it and she needs the love. And she's God's princess. And I don't treat her that. So I need help with that. Can you pray?
Well, let's just pray. Father, we pray for Stephen as well as all of us, that we would all be better lovers, God, that we would be sensitive. Lord, that we would try to see it through their perspective rather than our own. And Lord, that you would cause us to really love their heart, their spirit. So often our love is so superficial on what they do. I love what you do for me and things like that. But God, we know that true love is unconditional. And so we just pray for all of us to have that unconditional love towards our spouses. In Jesus' name, bless Stephen and help him in his home. In Jesus' name, amen. Stephen, our prayers are with you. And stay on the line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, maybe something you and your wife can sit down and watch together.
Yeah. This is Brad. Steve, I got a quick question for you.
Go ahead, Brad.
Real quick. Thank you so much. First is Steve, the more you pray for your wife, the more you will see your wife as God sees her. That's at least what I've discovered in my life. The more I pray for someone that I'm critical of, the more grace and forbearance I have for that person. So that's something you might want to just try to be to bring in more into your routine, is to make a deliberative effort to be praying for her, lifting her up. Second, I know it, like sometimes men, if they've had a head injury, as they can be sometimes very snappy and not testy, not patient. So if you have had any kind of a head injury,
in the past, you might want to have that checked out too with maybe a neurologist. And I know Dr. Warren has a great book on, I think, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. And this is, you know, I know it's helped a number of people. One problem with men is we often have a hard time recognizing that we have a problem, but that can be very real and as well, you know, just for whatever it's worth.
Hope that helps. Stephen Sandline, we'll send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. And with that, we'll go to Charlotte, Reno, in Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Before I ask my question, I wanted to comment on the voting. We have voting machines here, and when we had our last election for senator, I made sure that I voted for the Republican, and something told me to go back and look, and they had changed my vote to the Democrat. So I changed it. I had to go through the whole ballot again, and then I went back, and they changed it again, back to her. And so I went back and I changed it again. And then I made sure before I hit the final note, the final, you know, acceptance, that his name was on there. And just the other day I read that he only lost by 8,000 votes. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering how many people just pushed that button on the electronic machines and didn't go back and look. So I would caution anybody that's voting on those machines, double check and triple check before you hit that final button. Now, my sister lives in Yarrington, and when Harry Reid was running over a decade ago, that's when they first came out with the voting machines, and that the first place was in that county over there. It's about an hour and a half drive from where I live. And she said that they had the same problem. She kept picking the opposite of Harry Reid, and they went back and they kept made it all Democrat. And she said it took four times before she got it right. And I said, something's fishy with those machines. They're trying to have a little podunk town.
Charlotte, we want to be sure to keep your name and address and everything because, you know, the election's not corrupted. How many murders do you got to commit to be a murderer? Just one? How many phony baloney things that you went through, Charlotte, when you were voting to have a rigged election? Just one. And so I have friends that live in Nevada, and they said, we've suspected that there has been real serious irregularities in the counting process. Joseph Stalin, the Democrats' fair-haired child, said it doesn't matter who votes and who counts the votes. That's what makes the beauty of these voting machines so special, is there's no paper trail. And so with no paper trail, you can make something say whatever you want to. Oh, now they claim it doesn't. But I think, Charlotte, right now, you being on the phone with us as a witness saying, oh, no, there was tampering going on. Brad, what should we do? Nevada's an important state.
Yeah, it is. If anyone has these kinds of voting irregularities, they cannot keep it to themselves. They need to. I'd let the party that you're a part of, that you belong to, political party in your county, you know, make them aware of it, because they're going to be the most in tune with what's happening in your area and your county. Also, if it's occurring, I feel free to contact us at Pacific Justice Institute. You know, we have limitations some degree of what we can do on the legal side. What we can't do on the legal side, we love to push out on the media side. So I would definitely let us know. Feel free to let us know. People need to know what's happening, but the fraud is widespread and it's unparalleled. I once talked to an elder of a church, and he said, you know, there's always been fraud. And, you know, and you really think all this fraud really would have maybe changed the election? I just looked at him. I thought, really? You choose to be ignorant? You know, you choose not to be aware of what's happening? You know, and he hadn't seen the movie produced by Dinesh D'Souza, who I know personally, someone of high integrity. So it's like sometimes we just choose to be ignorant. And a part of it also is just not getting out the information. So we'd be happy to help get out the information from people like you I think it needs to be reported, and I would let your county party people be made aware of what happened. So hopefully they can be sound the alarm. I'm gonna sound that alarm what you just mentioned on my own program for people before they push the final button to go back and check the ballot. I was not aware of this. I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, they're corrupt, and so. Charlotte, but we if it would be all right, we'd like to get your contact information in case Brad needs this, because again, we're finding everywhere fraud in the voting, in America. Wisconsin's, fraud is just horrendous, that you can just write down, you get a military absentee ballot, you can write any name in there, make up a social security number, send it in, they'll send you a ballot. It's absolutely, and a lady did that to prove how corrupt their system is, and instead of them fixing the problem, they fined her and they prosecuted her for ballot fraud. And she said, this is what's going on, I was trying to prove the point. They don't want the system fixed. You see, no. For some reason, the Democrats have to have goldfish vote, five mail-in ballots in people's mailbox when there's only one person living there, people that have been dead for 20 years. And just like you said, Brad, this one case in northern L.A. County where it flipped around because they called the people who mailed in their ballots and they said, we didn't vote. And so because they didn't vote, they had to subtract those ballots, and the other guy, the Republican, then won. And it was only what, by 300 votes or something?
Yeah, about over 300, little over 350 votes. But you're right. They looked at the ballot and they looked at the signature that was registered. They said, wait a minute, these signatures don't match. Let's call the person and at their phone number here and see if they actually voted. They called and they said, no, I didn't vote. No, someone voted my name. No, I didn't vote. And so it was just outrageous. And it was widespread in northern Los Angeles, but it's all over the country. And particularly
yeah, Arizona.
Counties that are controlled by political hacks that, obviously didn't go to church much growing up and see nothing wrong with such fraudulent, unethical actions in order to maintain power and control. And it's a cancer to our whole democratic republic. If we don't address it, then our democratic republic will be worthless. Elections won't be respected. And then everything unwinds after that. You have cartels, you have militias. I mean, it's just a disaster. And people with education and assets leave the country. That's what happens historically, time and time again. The United States is not immune from that end result if we don't call this out and take action. So I thank you so much once again for calling.
Amen. And Charlotte, please leave your information. We'll be sure Brad gets that as well. And I thank you so much for the call.
I have a question.
Okay, good.
I contacted the Republican thing and I contacted Carson City. I filled out forms, but I never heard back from anybody. But my question is, my grandson's wife, I call her my granddaughter because she's married to my grandson, took her, my great grandson is 12 years old, to the doctor. And then she went on my chart to see what the results were, and they had locked her out. So she finally got a hold of them and talked to them, and they said, you can't look at his my chart without his permission. Your 12-year-old son has to give you permission to look at my chart. And I wanted to know if anybody else has been experiencing that, and what does the medical people think that they have control over, giving control
to Brad,
of
your
a
thoughts.
12-year-old?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what's being happening by hospitals. Kaiser Permanente is notorious for this, where they will tell the mother, you can't come into the examination room, or you can't come in to talk with me because it's just the child. The child's old enough now that you're not allowed. And the truth is, and you alluded to this, No, the child actually is the one who has the authority, and if the child says, no, I want my parent, then they have to allow the parent. But Kaiser Permanente doesn't tell children that or tell the parents that. They just imply that the parents aren't allowed. And that's a real clear a breach of professionalism. But they're not alone. Other hospitals and doctors do the same. And then you have the portal, which you're talking about, the access. That's carrying through with that policy. Unfortunately, some states actually mandate that, as California does. And it's a breach of parental trust, parental rights. Unfortunately, the courts so far have not recognized it as such a breach. So that's the problem. Maybe with our Supreme Court we have now, maybe that issue can be brought up again and looked at by the courts. But past case law is not favorable, unfortunately.
So I'm sorry about that, Charlotte, but this is just the nature of the way everything's going. What is wrong is right. Right is wrong. And we're all paying severely for it. And so, Charlotte, like I say, stay online. Give us your information there. We'll do our very best to keep it on file for proof of corruption in voting. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Send you out some books and DVDs. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Colleen in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Oh, you guys, I always get you when you're out of time. But hold on. I just want to ask a question. Do you guys know anywhere to give to, like, Donald Trump's campaign? Because I don't like to just give money and then, you know, people are such thieves nowadays. Is there anywhere you guys know?
There are, you can just go online, like on your phone or whatever, official Donald Trump site, that'll take you to it and how to donate to help him. There's quite a lot of information, but just, Trump donation website will get you right there and help you what you need to do.
Man, I want to just say something as I was driving. I was driving down the street, and I thought about this. And I know in the Bible it says the world, you know, we're going to be in lawless times. But I always thought about people just stealing and going into store. You know what I mean? Lawless as people just stealing. You can't trust anybody anymore. They break in. But you know why the lawless? Yeah, like California, that's what was on my mind.
Right.
You know what it is?
Right.
They're only lawless because the government is allowing it. We would have never got, I mean, I know God knows everything and he predicted this, but it's the crooked government. If they would take those people and throw them in jail for a week, people hate jail. They would stop right off the bat. But they don't. They allow it. So who would know our government would get so crooked? I just thought the people were going to go crazy, but our government has actually gone nuts.
Yeah, and part of the problem is that enforcement of the law against, you know, criminals like smash and grab and all that, that's really at a local level. And so it's those people, like in Los Angeles, that elect a district attorney like they have now that doesn't want to prosecute people and let murderers and killers and everyone else off. They're paying the price for it. So the fools that refuse to vote for righteously are themselves paying the price of the sin and the crime and the victimization that's taking place. And then you have states are also part of it, state laws where you, California has a law letting you steal up to $950 and nothing happens to you. It's a minor slap on the hand misdemeanor and you can go steal some more. So it's not even enforced by department stores anymore in California. They don't do anything because it's not worth it from a liability perspective because the law's not there. So that's the dimension of it. It's state law, state criminal statutes, and then local governance and local district attorneys and cities that are allowing crime to flourish. And that's why so many people are leaving, not just cities, but also some states that have been crime friendly, and it makes a big difference. I will say, like in California, for example, right next to Los Angeles County, you have Orange County and Riverside County. Well, those are two counties where they have sheriffs and district attorneys. They don't put up with much at all, and they prosecute, and the people are supportive. and the people benefit. So we need to go and be sure and vote on a local level, look at the sheriff candidate, the district attorneys, and make sure that in city council, make sure we're voting for people that are for law and order and not for criminals and thieves.
Amen. Colleen, we're out of time. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVD for Charlotte and Diana and James. Call us back. We'll put your first thing on Monday. Thanks, Brad. Again, Brad Dacus, pji.org. Check it out. Have a blessed weekend.
To Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.